This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here. Listen, our listeners have made this possible. 10 years running Remarkable Results Radio, Town Hall Academy, all the great shows that have preceded this. And thank you for this. If it wasn't for our listeners who cared to come on and make their learning curve episodic. Isn't that cool? Make their learning curve episodic. We are the Automotive Repair Business Podcast. Good to have you here. We've got some great sponsors that we'd like to tell you about. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, did you know that NAPA Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. I'm with Chris Machado from Circle M Bakersfield, California. Hey, Chris.
Carm, how are you today?
You don't want to know. I am so good. We have the sun shining here in Buffalo. It's like 61 degrees. It just gives us a perk that summer's on the way.
Oh, I tell you what, 61 degrees, sun is shining. That's a beautiful day for anybody around the States. That's awesome.
You're darn right it is. So how's it going in Bakersfield?
You know, it's really going pretty well, man. There's a lot of exciting stuff on the ground. You know, the weather here in Bakersfield on just the common level is your typical. We're a little bit cooler than normal. But man, Bakersfield's great. What a great community to live in. So central. You know, it's just a thriving town for most industries.
Is your business really good at this time of the year?
You know, Carm, this is an odd time of the year. Obviously, we've got some, you know, you get your tax returns about this time of the year. We're still paying back on our credit cards at this time of the year. Your common barriers are still here in Bakersfield, of course, but it's rather slow, if you would. We don't have our big months, you know, through the spring.
So you're pretty steady. Chris is here to talk to us about education. I'm on the big kick of this big language shift in the industry, and I'm dead set against the words training, because training is what we do if we're in sports, and that's a repetitive thing over and over again. And I believe that education, the continuing education that we need to bring to our people, keeps getting them into the newest and the latest trends that are going on. Even if you think of what diagnostics is, it's difficult to train for diagnostics, but it's important to educate on all the tools that we have and then use our network. So we want to talk about a lot of things in the education field that Chris happens to be passionate about. And so what I want to know, because he and I had a great discovery call on getting this episode really good for our listener, what's the next generation craving in automotive education? And we can go to a million different places, because I'm involved in the schools. We know what's going on in high school. We know Mike Rowe is giving scholarships for skilled trades. I think our industry can be on a roll if we pay attention to what our job is.
Absolutely. And I think you just nailed it right there, Carm. What is our job? What is our job as industry leaders? You know, this generation, what generation are we dealing with? We're dealing with three different generations. There's a huge gap. It's not as if it's just a 10-year gap. So we're dealing with an array of generations. And what is, you know, for us on the outside, we have to ask ourselves, what's the most common thing about this generation? And a lot of times we can find that answer at the coffee shops. So we make these complaints and we start these conversations of it's a complaint-based conversation. And a lot of times it's these kids, you know, maybe they don't have these soft skills that they need to communicate with us. These kids aren't learning as fast in the classrooms that we provide them. So we've constantly got this one finger pointed out at the next generation. This generation, we're supposed to be harboring these children, these young adults. And, you know, I think there's just so much out there that we as leaders need to be paying attention to.
When I go back to when I grew up, we were car lovers. I love to talk about my first car to people. And damn it, I wished I still had it because I'd be wealthy. Okay. Our young people today, they're not even getting their license. So how do we make them car lovers?
That's right, Carm. And again, let's get back to what are these kids into? I mean, if they're not out driving cars and doing the things that we were doing at 16 years old, what are they doing? What really just is hanging on to their attention? And I believe one of the greatest concepts, one of the topic that we need to be talking about is intelligence technology, IT. As you've mentioned to me, Carm, many times, how many different lines of code are in a car, you know, today versus how many different mechanical components are in a car? Let's drive ourselves back to what are these kids doing in their off time? If they're not out riding their skateboards, riding their bikes, driving their cars, playing at the parks, what are they doing? You know, and I'm afraid a lot of these kids are, they're in front of a screen just like we are right now, Carm.
We call them super digital people, digital natives, that they don't know that there were three channels on the TV back in the day. I tell these stories when I give my keynote speech on the rise of the mechanical and technology specialist. I tell the story about having this language shift and having a young person come back to mom and dad saying, hey, look, I got a job down at Chris's. Well, okay, so you're finally going to get your mechanic's job. That's really nice. And he says, no, Chris says I'm going to be a mechanical specialist. Someday, if I continue with his career path and his continuing education program, he showed me a couple of guys sitting in one of the bays with a tablet. And in fact, he even said to me, he says, think that they have a white lab coat on and look at all the screens that are around them. They got three screens. They're looking up service information. They're doing all this stuff just in order to fix the vehicle. Oh, they don't lift a wrench. The guys over there do that, but they figure out what's wrong with the patient. And they're the specialists. And I tell that story in my speech, and that's what you just nailed. We have to make it sexy to want to be in our industry, right?
That's absolutely right. We've got to create some attraction to this. We've got an antiquated way that we, most of us, have been indoctrinated with this belief of there's only one vehicle, no pun intended, of delivery for education. And I think a lot of people, as you say, have been stuck on training. Well, what are we training on? I had a high school coach. He mentioned something about practice. He says, you know, Chris, you can come to practice every day, but if you come to practice and give it marginal efforts, he says, you're going to get marginal results. He says, so you must perfectly practice, if you would, to get the results you really want. And so I guess that just comes back to this is, what are we perfecting for tomorrow's vehicle?
What are we perfecting? I love it. And the young people today may not appreciate the four-barrel carb and the 455s and all those great, incredible engines that we have, but we need to figure out how to make it sexy. So maybe there's a way in our educational process where tablets, I've just heard an awful lot of discussion on the fringes. We've seen it for years. I remember watching, you know, the goggles and an individual walking up to a, you know, a problem and, you know, tells him what wrench he needs to get and shows him what he needs to do underneath the hood of a vehicle. And that was really, really cool. I have heard a lot about it coming up lately, and I believe there's been so much work going on under the covers in perfecting the next generation of how we are going to learn. And I think as an industry, we need to jump in it, get on it, embrace it, bring it in-house, and then open our arms to our younger generation and says, have I got a really neat new flavor of ice cream for you?
That's absolutely right. It couldn't even, you can't express it any better. Carm, we leaders need to be on the ground level. We need to be speaking with this next generation. How do we get in front of these kids? Every community has some kind of program out there that, if you would, becomes a pool of the audience or the audience. So we need to volunteer our time. We need to expose these kids to these ideas that we talk about on these shows. We need to then fill the buy-in, right? We need to fill who's interested. I firmly believe, as you say, I firmly believe there is a sexiness to all this, Carm. What comfort is sexy, right? And so these kids are comfortable with technology today. We know that they're comfortable with technology. I think we need to keep that in mind. As you say, the tablets, we need to keep in mind the future again. What are we going to be specializing in, Carm? Are we going to be specializing in the mechanical side of things? Or are we going to become technical specialists and start to focus in that area?
Chris, I love both. I know that the technologists that are out there, people that I know really well, they are Diag superheroes. You know, their patients come from all around them, from competitor shops from all over the country, and they work on them, but they don't do the mechanical part. They're the brainiacs behind it. So we need to start training the gifted people with their hands. You know, they can do a brake job blindfolded, 20 minutes. It's perfect. They're so good at that. And we've got to find that niche, and we got to keep them happy and engaged and busy and earning a lot of money, because that's where you make your money. And then we've got to have the people over in the lab with the sick patient doing all the tests that we can, and sometimes the minimal amount of tests if we're smart enough using our own journals and a little bit of AI someday to help break through and how quickly we can figure out what's wrong with the car. So sexy, I think, comes in both categories. There's some people that I always use the expression, they, you know, years ago, some people have to, karma, I love doing this stuff. I tore the toaster at home apart. I wanted to see how it worked. Then I put it back together and it toasted even better than before. And he says, I knew I had a gift. I knew I wanted to work with my hands. And it wasn't like they don't need their mind. You need your mind. How I took it apart is how I have to put it together, and how I have to study, if you will, what's the word I'm looking for? Schematics and breakouts of how systems and components work together. And now I have to figure out how the people in Detroit decided to create a vehicle I can't get the at the part. You know, they never engineer the car to be repaired, only to be made. And that's why we need great mechanical specialists. So I guess the schools, our school in particular, our chairman is doing an unbelievably great job of redefining our laboratories, adding an EV curriculum. And again, I know there's an awful lot of schools that have gotten Perkins grants, monies to come in to help them increase the kind of state-of-the-art equipment that they need. I think we're on our way. I think it's going to be another 5 to 6 years to see the really good schools cream up. But if we as an independent don't get involved in these schools, the dealers are going to take them all.
Yeah, we've got to become part of the fix, you know, and that's really what we're good at. We're shop owners, we're mechanics, we fix things, no matter what it is. And so let's apply that instead of our business. Hey, listen, our businesses should be pretty darn good, right? We have a little bit of time to focus on the industry. Let's try to fix the industry. Let's fill the gap. There's the gap that we talk about here. Going from the classroom learning into the bay, there is some fear. This next generation, they don't have that gap filled from the class to the bay. How are we going to fill that gap? And really, that's the question that the industry needs to answer for us is, what do we have at our fingertips, Carm? And how do we fill that gap?
You said to me, we got to go from transmissions to coding EVs. Yeah, I mean, the reality. And I think if we talk to our young people about that, listen, transmissions put this thing forward, and there's these people that in these remanufacturing shops, yeah, we can get a lift, take it on and off. But man, wouldn't you love to be computer programming? Is it anything like gaming? Well, yeah. You got to be good and logical, and you have to have a mind that thinks ahead a little bit, right? We may be able to get the kids that are in the basements, you know, in their beautiful gaming chair with all the pretty blue lights and all that stuff, into our bays.
Hey, you know, Carm, I love your idea with the white coats and the big bright lights and the white walls and tablets and stuff.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I love it. I've always imagined the futuristic bay almost looking, as you say, like a surgical room, or if not, kind of like a dentist office that's got the arms that are, you know, articulating and spring loaded to where you pull your tablet over to you and you just right there, you type on it. And there's a camera that follows you to where it just kind of watches everything you're doing, man. There's so much that's out there.
All right, let's challenge the audience. I know within the sound of my voice, there's somebody out there that has these beautiful, you know, gorgeous floors, white walls, bright LEDs, three terminal workstations, tablets, Wi-Fi, you know, RJ45 high-speed connections, and white lab coats. Please send me a picture or Chris a picture of this. Carm at remarkableresults.biz. I want one.
You know, the great thing about this whole idea, Carm, and really you're such an innovator and a pioneer to reshaping even the names of this position we're referring to and really the value that this position brings. This is opening so many doors for this industry. And that's what I want to do as a part of the industry is really keep my mind open to what is available out there. Keep my mind open to what this next generation wants. And I think we can truly reshape it.
Are you a Napa Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the Premier Tier Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care Program powered by your local brand will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Auto Tech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. Napa Trax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. Napa Trax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Napa Trax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Okay, how much do we spend on automotive education? I mean, yeah, you got a percent that you're spending, as a percent of your sales?
You know, Carm, I feel like I spend a little more, and that's maybe just a personal problem that I have. But, you know, as far as what we spend company-wide, we're looking close to about 1% of the total revenue of the tire and automotive shop.
This sounds low to me. I mean, I know you're a multi-million dollar operation. I get that, okay? I don't know the real number. We should really call David Justice from RSOT and ask him what a KPI of training would be. I mean, if they're spending 5 to 8, maybe 10% on marketing, I would imagine, yeah, you got to get the people in there, but we still have to educate our people. I'm figuring, you know, you got $1 million business, 2% of that is what, $20,000.
And like I say, I'm a 1 or 2% on the tire and automotive shop. The platforms that they have today in the training, we train every day, Carm. My employees are on a daily training. They have additional coaches. They have weekly coaches every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. They've got a coach that gets on a call with them. We review all the content throughout the week. So when I say I feel like I have a robust program as far as training, we have that additional spur in our training, which I just referred to, on top of our industry-based extended education mastermind setting.
And I don't mean to sound crazy when I say $1 million business would spend 20 grand, but when you add up, say, a 40-hour commitment and what the online courses cost, what it costs to bring in a live training, what it costs to send them to an ATE, to a Vision, to an ASTA, what it costs for all the subscriptions, maybe it's 1.5 to 2%. The point is, there needs to be an educational fund in the business if we're going to be able to meet every challenge that comes out today, because the brainiacs in all of the car companies are working on technology 5 years out. And if we ever got inside their minds or walked through their labs, we would probably sit there going gaga, looking at what's to come that we have to prepare for ourselves. So I still believe that if we let our people just float, no motor on the boat, we go wherever we are, we expect them to learn OJT on the job, we're going to hurt ourselves. And that entire commitment, comebacks, vehicle delivered on time, and you're not using the parts canon to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, if it's much easier for me to put a dollar value on that, Carm, I firmly believe you should be spending anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a month on training. There's no question about it. I don't care what your annual revenue is.
All right. Thanks for that. It doesn't matter what revenue. Wow. Okay, cool. So where are we going with the future of training? I mean, are we going to be doing classroom a lot? Put your long range think on for me here. What's it going to look like?
I think it's going to be broken up into like a 3 to 4 phase day. Instead of going into the classroom, just going straight into the bay. That's kind of a 2-dimensional concept. We're looking at more of a 4-dimensional concept, I think, in the future, Carm. And I think we're going to be in the classroom, of course. I think at that point that the filling that gap that I refer to, I believe that's going to be heavily involved with technologies and softwares of some sort to fill that gap. And kind of what we're going to do is we're going to reduce the nerves that most technicians are going to acquire from the classroom to the bay, and that's due to fear of failure. We're going to try to close that gap with technology. Then we're going to go into the bay, and we're going to get their hands dirty, of course, as they all want to do. That's the one thing that mechanics or anybody in this industry loves to do. Thereafter, I think we need to really focus on soft skills. And so how do we do that? We need to provide some kind of hub of, hey, listen, we've got reality shows out there all over the place, you know? If we can just kind of conceive something along those lines, I think we'll be serving these kids everything they deserve for that next step in life.
Soft skills is huge. I remember being in a meeting from our advisor group at college, and we invited a lot of shop owners and dealer people that have received students over the years and said, what else can we do to give you a better product, meaning student, graduate? And the first thing they said was soft skills. It's the first thing. And it was like, I don't know if you can work on their license, but they need a license because they got to move vehicles or pick them up. And, you know, they don't know how to fill out a form, sign their name, and say please and say thank you and shake their hand and just have a conversation. And so I would love to see, I don't know what kind of name we could call it, Chris. Let's come up with it right now. Let's figure it out. A soft skills class. What could we call it? Life skills, maybe. Not soft skills, but a sustaining life skills class that we can get a myriad of people to come in and teach. Oh, the greatest thing would be is all the independent shop owners in the marketplace each get 1 hour over the course of a semester, say the semester, let's just guess 13 weeks. We have 13 different independent shop owners or someone that could come in and explain the process of diagnostics, the integration of working with a client, how we deal with the client's vehicle when we get in it, and then on and on about the person in the next bay and how we get along with people. And when we go to the bank to cash our checks, and I'm going crazy and off the wall, but there's so many things that we could do to take the wisdom of the ages that we have and share that with people. We forget how important our training is to our own children. And it was my daughter, Tracy, who, of course, works with me, so getting so well-known in the industry, she says, Dad, every time I go to a road sign that, you know, that says that there's an angle in a road or there's a stop sign coming up, you always told me that when I hit that sign, put on your blinker, because that's the right timing for the person behind me to realize that I'm going to turn. The roadside says that there's a road coming up. And she goes, every time I hit that sign, I think of you, Dad. Turn my blinker on. It's the tiniest of things that we fail to remember of how important our role is of the, for teaching the next generation.
Absolutely right, Carmen. I think the motto needs to be assume nothing. I believe we have to assume that it's our, they don't know. We cannot continue to assume that this next generation knows, that they've been through the things we've been through and had the opportunities and the educations that we've had. It's our duty to share those small things with them. And you're absolutely right. What a great story, you know, because there's so many of those stories I harbor and hold and cherish. Absolutely, Carm. Absolutely. It's really simple, Carm. I wanted to work with my dad at a young age, and my dad wanted to tell me that I'll just do it, son. You just sit and watch. You know, I was young and I thought I knew how to do something. My dad gave me the opportunity to do it. And I was rather fast in action, if you would. And for whatever reason, I wanted to prove to my dad that I could do this. Yeah, I did it, Carm, and he was great with me. And we sat there and we looked at my job, and my dad just kind of pointed out a few pieces of that job. And it says, he said, Chris, he says, always do it right the first time. He says, take your time and just pay attention to what you're doing. And you don't need to speed through life. And it's something that I cherish and that I hang on to every day, Carm, is just, you know what? Focus on what you're doing and make sure you do it right.
Today, do you worry that the individual you want to tell, give some guidance to, that they're willing to receive it?
I think so, Carm. I do. That wouldn't be my humble side to say that I don't. I fear that, of course, but I'm not going to let that slow me down. Believe me, this morning in class, you know, Carm, we're working with students today at Circle M in non-paid apprenticeships. And I'm sitting there talking to these kids. I'm introducing them to a vendor. Soft skills part of my class today was they get to talk to some vendors. You know, I watched one kid and I felt like he wasn't paying attention. I truly did. And I had to settle my mind down and remind myself that not everybody learns like you, Chris. And more importantly, this is the part of this generation that we, the leaders, need to understand is we may not see something we're used to seeing as far as a characteristic. We must not misinterpret that because we could discourage this next generation.
What a great point. Wow. The power of observation, the power of intuition. If I was you, and I'm not, but if I was in your shoes and you saw that, you know, it would only take me a couple of more times to be with that person to realize that they learned differently than me, but they got it.
That's right. They got it. And that's our duty. Our duty is not to worry about how they get it. It's we expose them. We believe that they got it.
We could do a 3-hour episode if we shared everything that you were working on. And I don't know where you find time to sleep, because I know a lot about Chris that maybe our listeners don't, is to all the things, oh, my apprentice program, am I this, am I that, and his this's and his that's. We don't have time in this episode to talk about that, but I want you to come back and talk about your this's and your that's. Is that a deal?
It's an absolute deal, Carm. I look forward to it so much. I'm more excited than I've ever been for the future of this industry, and I'd love to share it with everyone.
It's so interesting, this particular point in time in your life and what you're working on and what you're doing and where you want this, where you see this industry going. And the fact that I've been out doing keynotes on the rise, I've just really called it the rise of the specialist now, instead of saying all those longer words, because people don't want to say tech instead of technologist. They want to say tech instead of technology specialist. I'm struggling with the laziness that we seem to have, but imagine me and you going out on a keynote circuit with all that, you know, your passion on training and where you're headed with where training needs to be with our young people, and me going out there on this whole language shift. It's almost like the two most incredible pendulum swings in our industry working together. Oof, scary. I got goosebumps.
I'm elevated. As you're just, man, the picture's getting painted, Carm. I'm trying to contain this smile that I've got going on. Oh, wow. What a concept.
Chris, this was great. We covered a lot of great stuff and a lot that we didn't. And I need you to come back and do this other portion that you're working on. It's not ready for primetime players yet. But yet, Chris is cutting some rugs just like I am. And so glad to have you on the show, Chris Machado from Circle M Auto and Truck in Bakersfield, California, who's on the cutting edge of just about everything. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Carm. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.